Last week we began to unpack some of the sugyas of Tochen, and now hopefully we'll be able to put them together and focus on a lot of the halacha lemasa. Last week we organized opening the sugya primarily around two lists. One was a list of various yeshuvim in Rishonim, at least four or five different terutzim, to the stira that Tosas raises explicitly in Kuf Yud Aleph, and perhaps is raising implicitly an Ayin Dalet, which is a stira between those two gemaras. On the one hand, Ayin Dalet says Parim Silk is Chayiv, on the other hand, Kuf Yud Aleph, the implication is Kenivas Yerek is not a Malacha problem. So many different approaches and we showed him to that. And then the way the Ran lays out three, there are a total of at least three approaches to how you feed your chickens on Shabbos. Specifically, if you want to feed your chickens breadcrumbs, and for some reason it's easier to crumble your bread fresh, not sure, just saves you time on Friday, or freshly crumbled bread is more appetizing for chickens than something that's been, they didn't have refrigerators, they didn't have plastic bags, so maybe they get stale. So those are the three approaches to Rishonim, three approaches to Rishonim to the question of being mefarer lechem. Whether it's mutter, as the Rashbar writes in a tshuva, because of la'alter, whether it's mutter, as the Smag writes, Ashkenazi heter, because ein tochen achar tochen, or it's takasim. That was the approach you raised. You should not be mefar lechem on Shabbos. He doesn't accept either svara, neither the heter of the altar nor the heter of ein tochen achar tochen. Figure it out. Crumble it before Shabbos, or feed your chicken something else. So that's what we used to organize our entry into the sugya last time, and maybe it'd be helpful now to sort of think about the different tzedadim lahater that are raised. The different tzedadim lahater that the poskim raise, and what, how things come out halacha lamasa. How things come out. Okay. So it seems like there are six potential Sadadim Lahatir, at least six potential Sadadim Lahatir. So let's go through each one and see how they work out. So the first one is based, the sugya of Tochen we started last week from Ayin Dalet and Beis, but the first one is actually based on a Gemara in Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, and that is that Rashba, that Tochen La'alter is Mutter. The Rashba seems to be thoroughly comfortable. The Tochin La'alter is Mutter. The second Kula, we'll have to see where everything falls out. The second Kula is that it could be, this is one of the approaches to Parim Silka, that it could be there's no Tchina Ba'ochlin. And that comes in two flavors. Either there's no Tchina Ba'ochlin, which are edible, and that's one, or there's no Tchina Ba'ochlim she'enam gidulei karka. That's another approach to this idea of ein tchina ba'ochlim. That since this is sidur of the past, to make gidulei karka, it's going to be a tochen problem. But if it's not gidulei karka, so then it's not ein tchina ba'ochlim. Number three is that you're allowed to grind that which is already ground. Ein tochen achar tochen. So that which is tochen kavar would be fine. Number four is that Bishinui should be mutter. Number five and six have to do with how you define the act of the pu'ula of the tochen. Specifically, the ones that are most relevant to halacha are maybe mashing or mushing as mutter, and maybe slicing is mutter. So let's go through those one at a time. There are other ideas that come up in the Rishonim as well. I think those are the major themes that are raised. Okay, there are some who say that dak is mutter. Okay. And that's the rush. Okay, good. You could put that on the list as well. It's only absolutely powdering, which is awesome. So how do we work this all out halacha l'masa? So the Rashba does say that the tochen la'alter is mutter, at least in the context of the tochen la'alter is mutter, at least without a kli haroy l'kach, and that would obviously be. It sounds very much like he's drawing, and he is drawing on the idea that appears in Eidalim and Aleph in the sugya of Borer, which we may we never get to later this semester. We'll see how time unfolds. So the Gemara talks about La'alter being one of the conditions to allow for Borer, that's Matir Borer, La'alter plus several other conditions. So the Rashba is saying, Hu adina mitochin. Hu adina mitochin. Now the Shilti Giborim is on the side of the riff is very unhappy about this. Maybe it's dafka by tochein, maybe dafka by borer, and mehecha tesi that we can be medamel davar davar. Chazal never said about any other malacha. So what gives us the right to say that the altar is mutter? How does it play out in Shulchan Aruch? So how does it play out in Shulchan Aruch? So the Beis Yosef already says. The Beis Yosef already says that he quotes the Rashba. He also quotes the Shilta Giborim, and he is somewhat concerned about this. The Ramah, so he says, well, maybe a combination. Maybe if it's La'alter plus, you won't dice quite so finely. It'll be Gedolos Ketzas. That's what the Beis Yosef's Pshara. The Ramah in Sif Yud Beis does say that La'alter is Mutter. He quotes it without qualms. Rashba, quoted by the Ram, but the Nosek Eil and the Magen Avraham, and then he's followed by the Mishnah Berurah and others, say, the Shilta Giborim made a strong point. The Beis Yosef himself was hesitant about this. So that's, I think that the standard approach to halacha is in line with the Beis Yosef that will allow you to combine la'alter with something else. For instance, the following combination is assumed to be mutter if it's la'alter and it's somewhat larger chunks and you're just using a regular knife. You're not using a kli ha-miyuchat, not one of those kitchen gadgets where you press it and it has a whole mechanism with multiple blades and springs. All right, so that's assumed to be also even la'alter mamish. Plus, that usually dices. But again, if it's la'alter, if it's for immediate use, and it's a gadol ketzas, and it's just a regular knife, so that's assumed to be mutter. I would point you to, in terms of the lamdas shebo, so I point you to, and the Shilta Giborim's points seem very strong. The Beis Yosef was worried about them. Magen Avraham was worried about them. So what was the Rashba thinking? So Shechter has a beautiful explanation that he has a nusach about this that he puts in the context of a much larger, very beautiful shtickl. Eretz Hatzvi Simen Tes. Eretz Hatzvi Simen Tes, like many of the pieces in Eretz Hatzvi, has a very unassuming title. Beir B'Sugya D'Hol. It is a Beir in the Sugya D'Hol. He turns Hallel into a way to re-understand the whole concept of Ochel Nefesh. Very, very powerful shtickel. In the midst of Simen Tes, in the middle of Os Beis, he drops a line about this. He points out that there is a Machlokas or Rishonim about whether La'alter applies beyond Borer. And he suggests that, if you blink, you miss it. He says, machlokas is, what's the nature of the heter of borerly alter? Says the Ramban, says the borerly alter is mutter because the definition of borer is borerly otzer. The definition, the malach of borer is that you're sorting to put away. So it's something that the heter of the alter is unique and local and specific to borer. It really doesn't have no application to any other malacha. Says, but the other way of understanding it is that the heter of Li'alter is really expressing that borer, that derech achila is not called the malacha. If you think about it, that's more or less what the Rashba was saying. The Rashba was saying, "Hi yitachin, that the Torah forbids us to eat with a fork and knife. You know, I cut your food when you eat." That's the way the Rashba presented it. So it's really the machlokas, which again, it's even before Shul the Giborim. It's already machlokas the Rashba and the Yerayim. The Yerayim is already the one who says that you're not allowed to be mefar lechem l'tarnagolim, which means both he's rejecting the smag and rejecting the Rashba. So the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ram versus the Yerayim, the Shul the Giborim, and so forth, is really this machlokas. What's is the heter and ayin dalav and aleph? Part of the la'alter is stands outside the definition of borer, because borer means borer la'utzer, in which case it's irrelevant, it's a local din, or is it an application of a global notion that part of the definition of malacha that's not derech achila? So if it's in the process of eating, la'alter is, you know, immediately before you have the suda. Moshe Feinstein, in this tshuva that I had sent you to, he comments on that also in the Bora section. Just a word about that tshuva. This is in Simen Ayin Dalad. It's a Chelek Dalad Archaim Simen Ayin Dalad. What it is, it's a long, long tshuva with probably close to 100 mini tshuvas. It was written to Rabbi Eider, Rabbi Shimon Eider, who wrote one of the first, maybe the first, comprehensive sefer of Hilchos Shabbos in English. It was entitled, in English, it was called the Halachas of Shabbos. So when it's referred to, as the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa mentions in the footnote, so he says, he calls it Sefer Hilchos Shabbos. Pretty solid name. So Rabbi Eider was working on the Sefer, so he came up, 1,001 shayles came up, he was trying to work out every detail. So he sent many tshuvas to, many shayles to Moshe Feinstein. It looks like he sent one long letter. He didn't bother Moshe every other day. Once he worked out the sugya and he had his 100 questions, he sends it to Moshe Feinstein, and Moshe Feinstein sent back. So originally it was published in the Ida's Halachas of Shabbos, and then Moshe decided to put it together and republish in the Igros Moshe. It's a fascinating, very fascinating, very, very fascinating. So in the midst of Borer, he raised at one point the question, how do you define the altar? So Moshe Feinstein writes, the altar means the amount of time that it takes, that would normally take to get everything ready for the meal. It's not a question of shah doesn't mean 60 minutes. There isn't a specific shear of how many minutes. It says the amount of time it takes to get everything ready. More than that, it's an osyud gimel of borer. Because he says, a number of Rishon and Achron use the word shah. How goes Mardechai, the Meiri, the Baal Tanya and the Shulchan Harav, the Tal, it's about Shah. So I want to know, does that mean literally 60 minutes? No, it's the amount of time it takes to get ready. So that fits very well with this understanding, that the idea of La'alter is Derech Achila. So whatever time it takes to get it ready and then eat it, so that's considered to be part of your Achila. That's the Chiddush of the altar. But more than that, is already... more than that would already be proper. Not everyone has quite as short a shear as Rav Moshe, and if we have the chance to get to Borer later this semester, maybe we'll look into that some more. But again, the machlokas, we've shown whether La'altir is alone a matir of Tochen or not, so that's what Shechter suggests in Simon Tes Oz Beis. That's a question of how you understand the din of La'altir and the sugya of Borer. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, we hedge our bets. Halacha l'maisa, we're willing to be mitzara of La'altir following... the Beis Yosef's approach, well, will be mitzaref la'alter to somewhat larger pieces and a regular knife. Okay, so that was the first issue was the altar. The second issue of the ochlin, is there no tochen by ochlin? Is there no tochen by ochlin? So some understand, and we had begun to discuss last week, that mysterious levashel that the Rambam has. Tochen, you're the problem of tochen when you're chopping the vegetables to cook. So what's the Rambam driving at? To cook as opposed to what? And that, again, as we pointed out last week, that may be part of what that the mysterious Tosfos Ayin Dalel is talking about. That silka is a vegetable that you will after dicing, you're going to cook it before you eat it. So one understanding of Levashel is it's a reference to, it's a tip of the hat to the Rashba. That's not the altar. You're not planning to eat it right away. But another approach to Levashel is that it means that it's not yet edible. I'm dicing a vegetable that needs to be cooked. So it's not yet edible. So maybe the Rambam is saying, that's how some understand, the Rambam is saying that if it's something that's immediately edible, so then that's not called tochin. The mechaber does not accept that lehalacha. The mechaber does not accept that lehalacha. The mechater yerek dak, chayim mishum tochin. He does not have anything about levasha. And even the implication of siftes is that if it was a vegetable or a fruit which is immediately edible, there still is a problem of tochin. However, Shulchan Aruch does have a different type of heter of ochlin, and that is in siftes. Mutar lachtor basar mevushal otzli dak besaken. If it's meat which is already cooked or already grilled, so that is mutar. That is one of the understandings of that taisvis, that he's differentiating between vegetables and non-gidulei karka. Non-gidulei karka, because he's assuming that, again, that's the Trumas Hadesh in the Beis Yosef quotes, that his approach to that taisvis is that ein tochen ela b'gidulei karka. But if it didn't grow from the ground, if it's meat, so then it's mutter. It's the Shulchan Aruch presents it straight. The Mishnah Berurah presents it straight. Not sure. I think the new Berurah points out to me. Lamaisa, when the poskim discuss chopping eggs, they don't generally invoke this. So I'm not sure to what it doesn't come up that often. So it's a little hard to figure out to what extent we accept this halacha. But it does seem, in the Peshul Chanarach, it does seem to be accepted. And the way to understand this, the way the Bar Hetiv points out, the one day you have siftes, you're allowed to dice the meat, the cooked meat. The Ramah says it has to be. Yeah, we'll get back to Ramah in a moment. On the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch says the very next Sif Yud, according to Tshuva's Rivash, you're not allowed to usher ligror ha-gavina b'shabbos b'morg charutz bal pifios. He gives you the Spanish name. The later Achronim, the Ashkenazi Achronim on the page, give you the Yiddish name, the Ribbeisen. How many of you have ever seen a Ribbeisen? I have memories of my grandmother, Leah Shalom. Ribbeisen was pulled out in Erev Pesach. Because obviously, how else do you prepare maror? But grinding a horseradish root against the ribeye. The ribeye is like a standing tool, like four sides, and each side had a different type of grinder on it. And you rub it. You rub whatever it is against
a
the
grater?
Yeah, a grater. It's a ribeye. There's a famous Jewish comedian, Levinson, I think his name was, back from the Tenement days. So he writes in one of his books, Everything But Money. He says he was in second grade in public school, Lower East Side, where everyone was Jewish. All the kids in the tenement in his area were Jewish. The whole class of Jewish kids. And in second grade, and one day the teacher is working on vocabulary, and specifically kitchen vocabulary. So she brings along a whole bag full of kitchen utensils, and she's taking it out. This is called that, it's called that. And then she takes something out, and she says, Harry, what's this called? And he says, I'm thinking to myself, I know in Yiddish you call it a spatula, but I have no idea what you call it in English. So, apparently, Ribbeisen is Yiddish, but not English. Okay, so it's a whole, for a separate time, you can think of how many English words you can figure out which really sound like they're Yiddish. Like mental and dental and far-fetched, there's a long list. Okay, but coming back to the Ribbeisen, or the grater, the standing grater, so that's what the Bar Hetiv already points out. In Siftes, we said you're allowed to you're allowed to. You have a heter of tchina with the basar. And Sif Yud, we said you do not have a heter tchina with the gvina. The gvina is also not gidulei karka. Gvina is no more gidulei karka than basar. Meshavur points out that it's a discussion in Taisus in a few places. Do we consider animals to be gidulei karka because, after all, they grow from eating grass? But why is the Sif test as much as Sif Yud as also? The Baraitev says the answer is that in Sif Yud you're using a kli hamayuchad lekach, using this ribeisen. Whereas in the Sif test, you're just chopping it, you're dicing it finely with a knife. So l'cha'ora and Peish l'cha'arach, it would appear that there is no heter of ochlin simply because they're edible, but there is a heter of ochlin if they are, number one, gidulei karka, number two, edible. That's what the Rama appears to say in Sif test. He says he's comfortable with chopping cooked or grilled meat, as the Mechaber says, but not to chop raw meat. You're going to feed the raw meat to the birds, but they couldn't. You're mashvi uchla. So that's just something that's already edible without the chopping. So if it's not gidulei karka and it's already edible and you're just using a knife, so once again, that threesome is your next threesome, which is mutter. The first threesome was la'alter, and a little bit large, and then a normal knife. And the second one is non-gidulei karka, non-vegan, and edible, and using a knife. Okay. Heter number three is something which is already ground. That is what the Ramah quotes in Sif Yud Beis. That was a smag's heter of ein tochen achar tochen. That's why you're allowed to crumble the bread. Because what does that mean? Again, because it means it had already been. So what does that mean? To hear that the Chazanish and the Maamar Kaimus, I put two pieces of Chazanish in, because if you looked at the second piece, he's the one who gives this hesber. He says, Tochen Acha Tochen is not the same as Bishal Acha Bishal. I think we spoke about this a little bit last week. Bishal Acha Bishal has to do with the fact that it's already cooked, so you can't recook. If it's a solid food, it's already, you've made it edible already. Here he says that Tochen is, it's different, a different definitional point. The tochen is only the breaking down of natural bonds. I have a piece of meat, or I have a piece of fruit, I have a kernel of grain. So all the elements of it, all the molecules are naturally connected. So breaking apart the natural connection to small pieces, that is a tochen. But if it's artificially connected, I already broke it down into small pieces. I broke the kernel down to flour. Then I reconnected the bits of flour, the particles of flour, by mixing them with liquid and baking them. So that artificial synthetic chibur between the flour particles, breaking that apart is not a violation of tochen. That is a chiddush of the smag. The Yireim disagrees. Yireim say, now I'll be mefar bread to the Tanagon, but we are Mako like the smog. So that's number three. Number three is Ein Tochen Achar Tochen. Number four is the Heter of Shinoim. So that's the sugya deep into Masechah Shabbos. The Machlokas that we've shown him, the Gemara talks about being Dach of Kuf Memalef, right? Grinding the pilpulin, grinding the pepper using the back of the knife. So as you saw, a big machlokes rishonim, whether the Gemara says is mutter, Shino is mutter. It's a big machlokes rishonim there. How you put the guy with the sugya and beitza, is that heter only on Yom Tov, or is that even on Shabbos? So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it is mutter on Shabbos, which is the rov rishonim, that the sugya Masechah Shabbos is talking about Shabbos, if it's b'shinoi, it's mutter. So the Mishnah Brura pulls back a little bit. He has this. He develops this theory of double shinuyim. He says to use the back of a knife, in a regular grinder would be a problem. But you have to have a double shinuyim. You have to be doing it against a plate with the back of a knife. So then your classic mortar and pestle. You have the grinder and you have the cleat, the receptive container. The Mishnah Brewers thinks, not all of them agree, that both of them have to be different. You have to have an unusual grinder, back of a knife, and an unusual surface, a flat plate instead of a little tight, rounded pestle that makes it very easy to grind. Yeah.
We're saying that shinoi is mutter. Do you mean lechachila or just antaraisa?
No, that's what it sounds like. It's mutter. Mutter. Which is unusual. Usually shinoi.
It's not.
Yeah, usually shinoi is always is still asa drabanan.
Yeah. I think that's why you need a double shinoi. That's what the Prima Gundam says.
Right. The question is, will we always allow a double shinoi? So, yeah.
Also, the other Beis Yosef book said that because it's like a shinoi gomor, that's why.
And you're getting different, right. They still have to work out. Right. It still seems like there is more of a chiddush in Tochin. So, again, so he spoke about Alter, which we accept together with the other Kulas. He spoke about Ochlin. We accept the combination of both, the intersection of both subgroups of Ochlin. There's both Roy Lachila and Nakidu the Karka, and you use just using a knife. You're chopping rather than grinding. They spoke about something that Tochen spoke about Shinui. What remains to be spoken about is what process are you actually doing? Not are you doing a Bishinui or what type of item. Right? The first three kulas, the first kula was a question of time, of setting. And the next two kulas were a question of what's the cheftish on malacha? Is it ochel? Is it gedulei karka? Not gedulei karka? Is it already tachon? And then the question of shinoi is sort of the manner of the ma'aseh malacha. But then finally, there's the question of what is the ma'aseh malacha of tochen? So there is this opinion that the Rosh had that even dicing is not tochen. That's what it seems to emerge from the Rosh. Only powdering is tochen. We do not accept that la'alacha. Shulchan Aruch is rather clear in Sif Yud Beis, among other places, that the Mechatech Yerech Dak Dak is Chayev Mishum Tochin, not just Nis Drabana, and Isser Doraisa. Okay, so that much, that position, we do not accept. But then the question is, okay, are there other ma'asim that would not fall within the range of tochen. So Moshe Feinstein has two comments about that in this tshuva. The one which I believe is not so controversial is in Os Gimel. The one which is certainly controversial, where he is starting a controversy, arguing with Chaznish, is in Os Beis. So we'll start with without the machlekes, and then we'll move to the machlekes. So the one which is, I think, not controversial is thin slices. Moshe Feinstein thinks that thin slices, at least be'ochlin, thin slices are heter gamur. He tells that sort of the way that the shayla was presented was, do we care about how many dimensions? In other words, when I cut something dak-dak, or certainly when I powder something, it's reducing in all three dimensions. It's going to be tiny in all three dimensions. If I slice it, so I have, if I'm, you know, If you know what you're doing, you can have paper-thin slices. You can use a knife to get paper-thin slices. So one dimension is reduced, but the other two could be not reduced in the other two. So that's the way the Rav Eider presented it, is that if I'm creating sheets, I'm not creating tiny particles. So Rav Moshe Feinstein assumes at the very least, for Oakland, that is hetter gamur. You can slice your chal as skinny as you want. It's not just because they're tochen acher tochen. You can slice a fruit as skinny as you want. Thin slices are fine, as long as it's only in that one dimension. He has a Gemara, and later on Adalim Beis, it could be, if you're dealing with non-food items, maybe it would be us. The Gemara talks about the slicing a kaneh into thinner strands that you're going to use to weave into a cleat. The Gemara says that when you make this a basket, the Gemara tries to figure out how many different malachas might you violate over the course of this basket weaving. One of them is tochen, because you're taking these the reeds and you're slicing them into thinner fibers. That's still very long, but again, there you've reduced two dimensions, but you haven't reduced all three. So Moshe doesn't say the difference between, you know, how many dimensions. He says that's taka aser with for non ochlin, but for ochlin again, so this recurring idea that if ein tchina ba'ochlin combines with other things, Moshe Feinstein thinks that at least within the context of food, unless it's going to be a tiny particle in all three dimensions, it would be mutter. So that's os gimel. I don't think.
What if you use like an egg slicer? That's made for that.
Yeah. What if you use an egg slicer? So I believe. Yeah, I believe that he assumes that that is. I believe he assumes that that is mutter. In fact, he even says the Farish here. I have to look. I thought I saw it before. Here, they said that even maybe some of the later posts can talk about, like to shave, to have the egg slicers. Those egg slicers just there's a series of blades and you just clap it down and you get a bunch of slices. And the post can quote this. I believe post can quote this commentary on Moshe Feinstein. That's your mutter because you're just making a bunch of slices. Let's end with the bananas. Unless there are other questions. Yeah.
Why would that not be about
mutter? Yeah, so that's actually the next comment of Moshe Feinstein is about thank you. That's what Moshe talks about. Os Gimel is about slicing. Os Dalet, he says the Rivash says that was the Shofar, of course, if you're from the Rivash, they cannot use the ribeisen to grate cheese. How about if you have a slicer? You use a slicer for cheese or for eggs. So, and he says, is that uvdu dechol? Is that uvdu dechol? So he says, it's not tovim. So number one, based on what I wrote in the previous paragraph, it's not tovim, because it's chaticha lachalakim lo dakdak. You're just slicing. You're not reducing it to a tiny particle. And then he goes on to say, he has a long discussion about Uvda Dechal. Tries to figure out what Uvda Dechal is. And he says, merely the fact that you have a labor-reducing device, so he finds it hard to believe that that's Uvda Dechal. It's Uvda Dechal because you want to work less. So he works hard to figure out, you got to take a look. And you have to work it through. Uvda Dechal is potentially one of the most mysterious concepts in Hilchos Shabbos. He says maybe it has to do with you're getting as good a job done as you would during the week with a malacha. He tries to work on Uv Zuchal, but he assumes that this is not Uv Zuchal. It's not Tochen and it's not Uv Zuchal. Okay, so that's the slicing. So again, we spoke about so far six heterim, and now we're going to go to the seventh. The first heter was the heter of the altar, the second heter was the heter of Ochlin, the third heter was the heter of Tochen Kvar, and Tochen Achar Tochen. The fourth was the shinui. The fifth was the rush that dak is mutter. Only powdering is also, which we reject. The sixth was slicing. Slicing is mutter, at least for food. And finally is a question of mi'uch. Mem, yud, ayin, vav, chaf. Mashing or mushing. Maybe is an even better word. Bananas and bananas and avocado. That's the shayla about making. It's part of the shayla about making guacamole and Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish you saw. So the Chazon Ish is Nachmer, and Moshe Feinstein is Mekel, and the arguments are very fascinating. The Chazon Ish Kedarko. Effortlessly, nonchalantly, you know, makes his argument based on a sort of a casual reference to Taurus. Classic Chazon Ish stuff. So he says, hey, it's a beautiful zog. He starts by saying, the presentation is very Chazon Ish. He starts by saying, sort of with a, speaking conceptually, he says, there's no difference between taking something and breaking it into little dry pieces, or breaking something into little moist pieces. Either way, it's tochen. Even though, when you break it into moist pieces, it's going to end up hanging. It's still going to end up hanging together as a single unit because it's all sticky. He says, "What do I care? What do I care?" He says, "Number one, I'll prove it to you just from Rias, and I'll prove it to you in concept." He talks about the grogros and refus, where you're chopping up dried figs. So that actually comes up. That's based on Tosefta, and that does get quoted here in Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah, the beginning of Sif Yud Beis. Lachtov grogros v'charuvim, lufneas kainim. So you're not allowed to do tochen on the grogros and the dried figs, even though it's going to end up hanging together anyways because they're so sticky. So the Chazanish says, you see, and then he has another raya. The Rambam talks about the grinding some sort of reflux, I believe, is some sort of cereal. So it's going to, that's a problem, even though it's all mushy. And it's going to hang together when it's done anyways because it's sticky. So he says, number one, I've proven to you the fact. I showed you a halachic fact that we do not differentiate between breaking a large item into tiny dry pieces and breaking a large item into tiny wet pieces that stick together. And then he says, not only did I demonstrate that it's usher, I'll explain to you why. He says, chibur through subsequent chibur through moisture is not called chibur. So that's a Rambam Hilchos Tumas Ozer. Chibur b'dei adam lo shmei chibur. He says, look, let me explain to you practically what that means. You have a banana. So if you have a whole banana, leave out the uktzin issues of yad and shomer. And a peeled banana, yeah, peeled banana, the edible part of banana, that's whole. So if adam tame touches, let's say you have a banana shalchulim. So normally there are four types of categories of things in the world that are kimu kabel tuma, adam, kelim, ochel, and mashkim, not things which are tame in and of themselves, avosa tuma, not sources of tuma, but things which can conduct tuma, which can receive tuma from something else, can become tame, makabele tuma. So makabele tuma tend to belong to one of those four categories. So Adam and Kalim usually can only go down as low as a Rishon L'tuma. So if an Avatuma directly touches Adam or Kalim, they become Rishon L'tuma. If an Avatuma directly touches Ochlin Mashkin, we say Ochlin, Mashkin have their own dynamic, so the Ochlin will become an Avatuma. But the difference is, Adam and Kalim never, or Rechanan writes the beginning of Bavakama, almost never can go beyond Rishon L'tuma. Okay. But food and drink can. Regular food and drink, shalchulim, can go down to sheni. And the more cutter something is, the more susceptible it is L'tuma. So truma can even go to shlishi, and kashrim can even go to revi. Mechatos maybe. Baradum can even go to chamishi. So let's have regular banana. It's not truma. There's no such thing as banana shalchulim. The regular banana. The regular banana is an ochel, so it can become a sheni L'tuma. So if an avatuma touches the banana, it becomes rishon tuma. Or if let's say you found you were dealing with a dead mouse, hypothetically speaking, sometimes it happens in Washington Heights. I've had the Baruch Hashem living in the dorm for a couple of years, and living in an apartment Baruch Hashem for 6.5 years in the Heights, and very few direct encounters with the mice. They almost invariably ended the same way. So I tried, though, to not, for just hygienic reasons, I tried to not actually touch the mouse myself. So usually it involved a garbage can and a broom. I sort of corner him, and then again, sweep him into the garbage can. If the mouse is alive, it's not matame. If the mouse is dead, the mouse is one of the shmona shrutzim. A dead mouse is an avatama. The opening Mishnah in the Seder Taurus tells us that shrutzim, one of those things, are only mitame b'maga, not b'masa. So if you carry a dead mouse, or if it's in a trap, you didn't touch it, if it was in a bag, then it's not mitame. But if you actually picked up the dead mouse by the tail, I had a roommate at one point who was, I think, prepared to do that, So then you talk about the mouse is now a tumma. It's the time of maga. I become rishonal tumma. Okay. So now I became rishonal tumma until I go to mikvah and have arav shemesh. I'm going to be tumma. So before I go to mikvah, after I touch the mouse, before I go to mikvah, I'm walking around as a rishonal tumma, and I touch the banana. I touch one tip of the banana. Azai. Touch one tip of it. So the whole banana is a single item. The whole banana is a shein l'tumma. Says the Chazon Ish, aha! But let's say you mash the banana, but you have one big glob of mashed banana because it's sticky. So the Chazon Ish says, oh, that's the Rambam in Tumas Ochlim, Perek Vav Halachi Adalad. I'm just reading from the Chazon Ish, it's not my biggest. That Chazon Ish says, if you touch, you have a bowl of mashed banana, one big glob of mashed banana, you touch one end of it, so then we don't say the whole bowl of mashed, let's do the bowl, and the whole pile of mashed banana, one big glob of mashed banana on a plate. So we don't say that if I touch one end of it, the whole thing becomes tummy. No, those are all separate little bits. So the first little bit you touched became a shein l'tumma. But it's not matame anything else because chulin doesn't go down below shein l'tumma. It's one big piece. No, it's not. That's chibur b'dei adam lo shmei chibur. The fact that it's that they all hang together because of moisture, that's not called one piece in the world of tumma v'tahara. Says the Chazon Ish effortlessly. So you see, therefore, that's called tochen. That those are called the mashed banana, the banana mush is a single, is no longer considered to be a single unit. It is al pi halacha from a tumatara perspective considered to be multiple little bits. So there you go, that was tochen. What do I care that they all hang together? Al pi halacha, they're separate bits. Used to be it was one piece of banana, one chaticha, you touch one end, the whole thing is tame, and now al pi din are separate pieces. So, to the naked eye, it looks like it's still one piece. So Chazon Ish says, ignore that. Al pi din, you turn one push echad into kama chalak. Tochen.
Is that the same story
he had by
the
Ein Tochen Achar Tochen?
That he said Ein Tochen
Achar Tochen
was only natural.
That's interesting. Maybe. Maybe. That's a very good point. That's a very, very good point to make it. Right, so it's a chumrah in terms of the initial tachina, even though it immediately reverts back to being whole. But once you talk about you read the initial tachina on Erev Shabbos, Ein Tochen Achar Tochen, that's a very good point. That's a very good point. A very good point. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, writes in this tshuva, also again in Chelek Dal Seminayin Dal, this is Tochen Os Beis, he says, with all due respect to the Chazon Ish, in the second Dira Maslo, Dira Maslo L'chein. The first Dira Maslo is dealing more with the La'alter issues. The second Dira Maslo, he says, forget all the La'alter issues, which was the Chazon Ish had dealt with earlier, in terms of if I'm going to mash the banana right away, right before, That was on the previous page. The last piece of the Chazon Ish has about the bananas is don't think that this is not called tochen. So Moshe Feinstein writes in Dima Sol V'chein, he says I disagree with the Chazon Ish's concept. He says the Chazon Ish is right, but what he's saying is irrelevant to bananas. He says the Chazon Ish is right. He says those other, and the Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that he experimented with this, obviously not on Shabbos. He says, the Chazon Ish is confusing two similar, superficially similar, but fundamentally dissimilar phenomena. He's confusing mashing, chopping dried figs with mushing bananas. He said, dried figs, You are getting tiny pieces. They just happen to stick together. He says, but if you take a spoon and you smash a banana, or if not your hand, you smash a banana, you didn't make little pieces that are still stuck together. There's no little piece. You just mushed it. You haven't broken it down. And he says, fascinating, he says, I tried it. I experimented with the grogros and with the rifus and with, he says, grogros certainly. He experimented with the grogros. And he experimented with the bananas. The grogros are tiny pieces. Gam badaknu batzneinu. Shachaknu grogros v'shachaknu banana. A ribeye. It's not the same. You're not getting the same result. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa presents this as a machlokas Chazon Ish and the Moshe Feinstein. And not only about bananas, but about guacamole. but avocado. And the Shemir Shabbos go chasa assumes that we should be machmer like the Chazon Ish, but I think our Rebbeim assume largely like Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you're gonna chop the avocado into pieces, you're gonna use a fork to mamish it. You're breaking into little bits, but it ends up hanging together because it's also gooey and lipidinous. That's the problem. If you're just smashing it rather than mashing it, you gotta figure out what the right terminology is. If you're just smushing it and smashing it and you're softening it, but you're not breaking it into bits, so then I think we usually assume, like Rav Moshe, that mi'uch, just mushing something, softening it, but in a way that you're not actually creating little particles, I think we do assume, like Rav Moshe Feinstein against the Chazon Ish, that would be mutter. These are some of the halachah l'maisa points in the world of tochin. The lineder in the coming week, we're going to move on to another malacha that's dealt with extensively in Siman Shin Chaf Aleph, and that another malacha that comes up plenty in practical kitchen contexts. Another malacha that, like Tochen, has its own perek devoted to it at the beginning of Shemesh Shabbos Kol Chasa, and that is the malacha of Lush. We'll move next to Lush, and then B'li Neder, if there's time, which it looks like there may well be, hopefully we'll be able to chaperai Nebora before the end of the semester.